go. Sit down. Take your Bibles. Can y'all hear me okay? Can everybody hear me okay? I am so used not to having anything in my hands while I'm preaching that last night I felt a little bit out of my element because I had something in my hands. And so I like my hands free to where I can defend myself in case somebody rushes the pulpit, or I can throw something at somebody, or whatever the case may be. But I'm glad you're here this morning. And how many got to bed early last night? Not if you were in church here, you didn't. But anyway, so aren't you proud of me? I have not taken a cheap shot at the Ohio State Buckeyes yet. But I was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan, so I am a Michigander. And my mom went to a U of M. My dad went to Michigan State. And are you a Michigan State fan? You are. Uh-oh, I got to be careful with my next statement. I better rethink all this. And anyway, when they would play the big game between the Wolverines and the girls, it really turned out. That's true. And State won. Anything from Michigan, I'm for. But my mom is U of M, my dad, Michigan State. And so growing up, and don't ever tell my dad I told you this, soul winning is important to him. Soul winning is what he does, except on that Saturday. And is it truth? I mean, everything is like, you know, it's not a holy day. Christ died to bring down the partition. And so you're hurt, aren't you? Don't write that down. I deny every word I just said. But they would just, and this is before you had VCRs and DVRs and record the game. Recording a game has made me more spiritual. It's kept me on the street. I can go soul winning and relax, and I'll learn anyway. So growing up, my mom would look at his kids, and dad would say, "You get over here next to my chair," because they'd get in their separate chairs and get their separate quilts, and green and white for dad. And then, you know, on the Wolverines, they were just crazy. And so growing up, they said pick. So we'd all go to dad's side. And then my mom would say, "Remember who cooks your meals. Remember who lies for you to dad." And then it was like, we went over to mom's side. So all of the kids are Wolverine fans. So I will not give you a hard time. I hope not. And so anyways, is this our deaf crowd back here? Is that what it is? Right? Ready? Some of them. And how many are deaf? How many are deaf? Watch this. Yeah. All right. Two, right? And we have a deaf crowd at our church. Every Sunday, I print out my sermon for them because they were having a hard time following along. So every Sunday I print out my sermon and I'll send it to the deaf. And I mean, because I type all my sermons up. And so they'll get a copy of my sermon and they're sitting there. Well, preachers are notorious for halfway through the sermon changing up a point. You know, halfway through the sermon, you'll get into it and you'll go, "Well, we're going to change that point up right there." And so I changed it up. And we have this dear black lady that's deaf comes to church, and she's sitting on the second row, and she looks at my sermon, looks at the second point. I change it, and she goes, "That's not what it says." So anyways, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and I want you to go to verse number 22, 1 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 22. We're going to read this verse together. Can y'all hear me okay? Everything going okay? Can you hear me? All right, good. Just want to make sure that I can be heard. 1 Samuel 15:22, and I promise you I'm not going to be long at all this morning. And whenever you hear a preacher say that, run. When he reads one verse, it's going to be a long sermon. Better he read 15, that means he doesn't have much to say, then he'll cut it short. So here we go. You ready? 1 Samuel 15:22. And let's all stand if you don't mind. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Let's read this together out loud. Are you ready? 1 Samuel 15:22. Here we go. "And Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat.'" That's a great verse right there. You know, Brother Jenkins talked about it last night, that making just those little adjustments as you go through life. Just make the little adjustments. And this morning, I honestly, want to give you just something in your life. I know that when you walk out of here this morning, listening, say, well, you know, Brother Bob preached on this, you probably are going to go, okay, I quite don't understand why that one was preached on. But it's just a little bit of adjustment. I do think the world's philosophy really gets into Christian behavior, and we wonder why we don't see success. I promise you, what I'm about to tell you will bring success in every arena of your life, because it is a biblical principle, and that's the only thing I have to speak from this morning is the Bible, and it is what the Bible says. I'm not going to give you my title until after we get into the sermon, so let's pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that this is a truth that I need in my life. It's a truth that was given to me years and years ago, and Lord, I trust that you'll help me to be a good carrier of the truth, to give it to your people this morning. Thank you for this great crowd. Thank you for the fact that they've taken time out of their schedule to say that your house is important on this day and to come to the house of God. Bless us now, please. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. May be seated. There is a statement, and I'm just going to get right into the sermon. There's a statement that has become well known in our society in the last 10 years. In fact, I think it truly reflects the state of our society. But it is something that I promise you that many of us, myself included, have used in this room. We've used it jokingly. Sometimes we use it with full meaning. Sometimes we use it to where it can, if we're not careful, it can become not only just a slogan that we use, but it really will define our lives to the point of ruining our credibility and to the point of ruining basically who we are and how people think of us. And if this statement is adopted as a fact in your life, then I promise you, you'll irritate people all around you. You'll be very difficult to work with. You'll be very difficult to get along with. And your boss and the people above you will get just, Texas term, stinking frustrated with you. And here it is. You ready? You probably can finish it. It's easier to ask for than. I promise you that all of us at some point has said, well, you know, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. Well, you know, if we're not careful, it may be a cute saying in life. It may get many a laughs, but it's a terrible way to live.
Amen.
It is a terrible way to live. In fact, I promise you a lot of frustrations because people literally live by this slogan. You know, basically this philosophy is saying this: I know what the rules are. I am aware of what my responsibility is to the rules. I am with full knowledge. I know what is expected of me. Well, I didn't realize it was going to be this quiet. However, I am going to do the opposite and then come back and claim some type of ignorance and then bat my spiritual eyelashes and ask for forgiveness. Therefore, the act of disobedience will be overlooked because of the act of repentance. This philosophy will lead you to a sad conclusion in life. You know what it does to the person? It starts them thinking the rules do not pertain to me. The people enforcing the rules will understand because it is me. I am more important than the organization. And I am more valuable to this organization than the rules. Therefore, because of my value, they would not dare get rid of me because of a rule that I have broken. Can I tell you this morning, nobody is that indispensable. Nobody has that much value to where rules can be overlooked. And I don't say this, I didn't realize it'd be this heavy this morning, but I'm going to tell you right now, if we'll kick disobedience right out that front door and we kick it out of our lives and we tell our children, it's not easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. Let me tell you, obedience has a premium that very few Christians place on it, and very few Christians have that character to say, I don't care if I never obtain the prize, I'm going to be obedient. I don't care if it takes me longer to get to the end. I'm not going to shortcut my way through the field of life. If it tells me go down and take, if I have to go clean around the block in obedience, I will go clean around the block in obedience because it is not easier to ask for forgiveness. And that's the title of my sermon this morning. It's not easier to ask for forgiveness. In fact, God weighs in on this in 1 Samuel 15:22. Look at it. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. And to what? Hearken than the fat of rams." Do you know what Saul was doing? We're going to look at it here in just a moment. He truly thought God would be appeased with the sacrifices that would be used for atonement, and God would overlook his disobedience. Saul quickly found out, as people find out, if this is your mantra and this is how you live life, then it's not easier to ask for forgiveness, because what is destroyed in disobedience, you will never get back. I'm going to say that again. What is destroyed in disobedience, you will never get back in your lifetime. Now, this morning, I'm not talking about I'm not talking about you stumbled or you did something wrong and then all of a sudden you realized it and you came back in repentance of it. I'm not talking about getting yourself trapped in something. I'm talking about knowing what is expected of you and knowing what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden you decide to step up to the plate and you decide to go, "Hey, I know, but they'll let me out of it because I'll just have this repentant tear, and then they'll be okay with what I'm about to do." Well, you can't live life that way. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Saul knew exactly what the command was. Look at 1 Samuel 15, 1. "Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have." Look at this. "And spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. Saul knew what was expected. The man of God came and said, God said, destroy them all. Right. Don't keep one thing alive. Get it out. Destroy it all. So then Samuel comes back in verse number 8. Look what King Saul violates the command. Look in verse 8. "And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly." You know what Saul did? Saul picked and chose which commandment he would obey. God said, Saul said, "God's really going to throw out all this good stuff? Does God really know what he's doing? He's going to throw out all this good stuff? I'm going to keep it. Let's keep it alive." Look at verse number 10, if you don't mind. "Then Saul's called on the carpet by the man of God." By the way, if you have conflict with the preacher in your life, it probably is because there's more disobedience in your life than there is obedience. Now I know that some people don't like a preacher and they don't like the fact, you know, why do I have to answer to the man of God? You don't have to, but I'll tell you this much. He ought to be a good counselor in your life, and he ought to be somebody that you go to and you say, "Hey, can I bounce something off of you?" Because the wisdom that he has in life is not his wisdom. The wisdom that he has is God's wisdom. And just like God in the Old Testament put prophets there, I understand that you have a high priest in here, but God still gave us a church. That church still has a pastor. I want you to notice here in verse number 10, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel." By the way, let me stop right there and just say this. Unless you're a pastor, you don't know what a grave responsibility that is. When somebody comes to see you and ask you a question, it's not with a flippancy of life that we answer the question, because we know whatever we're about to say is going to weigh heavy in their decision that they're going to make. And regardless of what people think, we don't ever get mad. Well, sometimes we don't get mad when people don't take our advice. Truly, if you don't want to take the advice, that's your job. That's your call, not our call. We'll just go back to loving the Lord. Verse 10, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieves Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Look at verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Look at this, verse 14. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul said, I've done everything. Let me tell you something. No matter what comes out of your mouth, there is that spiritual perception that the man of God has that says what's coming out of your mouth and what I hear from your life are two different things. They are two different things. When someone says, oh, I love our church, but you never tithe, those are two different things. When someone says, I love my wife, but you never go home to her, those are two separate things. When a child says, I love my parents, but they never obey their parents, those are two separate things. Sometimes I just, when somebody's talking to me, sometimes I just want to break into the lowing of the oxen. Amen. And what's that for, Pastor? Because you're lying to me. Amen. And Saul believed that his disobedience could be overshadowed because of the sheep and the oxen that were saved alive to be used as an atonement to the Lord. The best you gain in disobedience is tainted by that disobedience. You have two ways to live. And I'm going to ask you this morning to really become committed to obedience. I'm going to ask you in your life, make that little bitty adjustment going down the road of life and make that little bitty adjustment that says this, I am going to be a person that I am going to obey to the best of my ability. What is asked me? I am not going to be a lazy Christian and forsake obedience and think that my tears at the altar will make up for what I did not obey and get a free pass. So that I can get up and go out and disobey again and then act ignorant and come to the altar in tears and go out and disobey again, come and act. You're losing credibility. You're losing respect. Everybody understands sinful nature. Everybody understands humanity. But what people don't understand is when you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, and then you expect people to be okay with that. It's not easier to ask for forgiveness. I truly believe that there needs to be a revival. And you know what's really crazy is people start thinking they're the exception to the rule. Sure. Now, I know I'm not getting down to where I'm going to make you cry this morning, but I promise you this, I'll make you think. Amen. Amen. When you start thinking you're the exception to the rule, there are people in families that think I'm the exception to the rule. There are people on the job that think, well, I'm the exception to the rule. There are people in the church house that think I'm the exception to the rule.
You're right.
Now, you want to get a preacher hot, you just think you're the exception to the rule. Well, he asked everybody to park there. Well, I'm the exception because I have been a charter member of the church for years and I paid for that grass. No, you didn't pay for that grass. God's people paid for that grass. You know, it's really crazy in a church where people think they're the exception to the rule. I got crazy rules at our church. I got crazy things I ask people to do. And people look at me all the time and go, what in the world? I got this crazy idea. I don't like people drinking and eating in the auditorium.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody said the other day, where is that found in the Bible? I said, very clear. They ate too much down at the house of God and they thought it was a party time rather than getting down to God's business. At the Lord's table, you read it. They were become gluttons at the Lord's table. I don't want to see a Starbucks cup. Somebody sent me a picture the other day. Did you see what was happening while you were preaching? There's a Starbucks cup, and I recognize the feet. Amen. And so I called the owner of those feet, and I said, look, don't bring Starbucks back into the auditorium. And they were like, well, Pastor, I didn't think you saw. I said, absolutely, I saw. We have cameras by the pews. And so I sent a picture, and they're looking for them cameras by them pews. That obedience. If you want a smooth-running family, everybody obey.
Amen.
If you want a smooth-running church, just everybody obey. If you want a smooth-running organization, just everybody obey.
Amen.
Some of you will not get the promotion on the job. You want to know why? Because you're the exception to the rule.
Amen.
Some of you will not be the good kid at school this coming year. You want to know why? You're always the exception to the rule. Some of you are terrible church members. You want to know why? Aren't you glad you came this morning? Some of you are terrible church members. You want to know why? Because you're always the exception to the rule. When you're called on the carpet for disobedience, you think a quick tear in the eye and a quick, I'm sorry, pastor. I'm sorry, teacher. I'm sorry, principal. Boss man, I'm so sorry. But you know how it is. You really think that that's going to get you ahead in life. God said this, it's better for you to obey than lay a fatling right there in front of me. And it's better for you to obey than for you to give me the fat of rams and the fat of calves. And it's better for you to obey than for you to come back and all of a sudden try to atone for your disobedience. That doesn't get you anywhere. In fact, I want you to notice where it did not get Saul. Let's go on a journey here. Are you ready? Saul found out very quickly it wasn't easier to ask for forgiveness. Look at verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Nobody likes to be rebuked. Nobody likes to be rebuked. Nobody likes, here you are king, here you are a charter member, here you are a preacher, here you are an evangelist, here you are a missionary, here you are supposed to be the pillar of the church, but if you're always thinking you're the exception to all the rules in life, let me tell you something, at some point the man of God has to have a very awkward conversation.
Amen. Yeah.
Think about the awkwardness of this conversation when the man of God went to see the king.
Yeah.
And he said, dear king, when thou wast little in thine own sight and humble, God, that's the reason God had me anoint you to be king.
Amen.
It's not easier to ask because at some point, the people, the powers that be are going to get tired of putting up with this disobedience. And they're going to have an awkward conversation. That's hard. And it's so sad. It is so sad that we have to bring our relationship down to the fact that now I have to rebuke an old man. I have to rebuke somebody in a position of deaconship. I have to rebuke a Sunday school. Are you serious? Let's just obey. Man. Second thing that happens, look at it. Then you start making excuses. This is really gets funny after a while. Look at verse number 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people... Look at that. But the people, I'm going to give you three things. If I'm boring you right now, I'll give you three things and we'll be done. But the what? People. Really, I'm really not supposed to be here. This is Tony Hudson's message, so if you don't like it, it's his fault. But the what? People. Do you know what the guy in charge said about the disobedience of the people on his shift? Their fault. Their fault. Well, I could have obeyed if it wasn't for them. You're the one in charge. I could have obeyed. But you know how them children are. They just went to that red box and rented that X-rated movie. And I could have obeyed the commandment. But then they brought him. You know how them kids are.
Come on, yeah.
Look at verse number 23. I have no idea where that came from. Then I want you to notice what he was tagged with. Now, this is very interesting. And please listen to me. If you live your life with the slogan, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, then here's what's going to start happening. Expect the conflict to pick up. Expect for you to start blaming other people. But look at what he was tagged with. For, verse 23, rebellion. Ooh. Now we've just gotten to the heart of the matter. It is not a did not know the rules. It is not I did not know was expected of me. Guess what? Now it comes down to the real truth of the matter. Saul was just a rebel at heart. Now he was just a rebel at heart. To know what the rules, you know, the highest disrespect and rebellion is to know what the rules are in here and then to smile when you don't do them.
Come on. Amen.
And then try to gain a relationship of I'm okay.
Amen.
And oh, poor Bobby, I didn't really know. I'm 46 years old, but I didn't know. Let me tell you something, that doesn't fly. And in life, it's not easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission. You have to understand that in Saul's world, guess what he was tagged with? He was tagged with being a rebel. You don't want to be tagged on the job. You don't want to be tagged in the classroom. You don't want to be tagged in the family. You don't want to be tagged as a church member that somebody's always saying, well, you know, he's a rebel. He just didn't ever keep the rules, and then he'll apologize once you call him on the carpet. Oh, don't be that way. Well, we got too much to do here in the house of God. How about everybody just watching? What is expected of me as a good churchman? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in the choir? What do you want me to do as an usher? What do you want me to do? I'll do exactly what you tell me to do.
Amen.
In obedience.
Yeah.
Oh, we need a revival of obedience.
Amen.
We need every young person to obey.
Right.
It may take you longer to get where you want to go in life, but it'll be without rebuke you'll get there, and it'll be without being tagged as a rebel that you'll get there. But it's very interesting. Look, it keeps going. For rebellion is as the sin of... Whoa, now we went from an act to a force behind the act. I want you to think with me now. Saul did not do the commands of the Lord. Saul said, I'll get these sheep and these oxen that will atone for me disobeying. God said, I don't deal that way. I told you what you were supposed to do. Now you're going to get rebuked. And now let's get down to the heart of matter, Saul. You're a rebel. Now let's really get down a little bit deeper. Let me show you the force behind that rebellion. It's like witchcraft. And Saul, you're being a puppet on a string behind a force that is not of God. Disobedience is more devil-like than it is Christ-like.
Amen.
Years of being a youth pastor, I got a call one time and went to the house. And I think I told the story here several years ago in my stories. I try to keep track where I tell the stories at. And I think I told it here probably, good night, years and years ago. But I was called to a house and the mom said, could you come over? So I went over and they had a couple of teenage girls in the youth department. She said, something's weird about my daughter. And I said, well, okay, well, you know, like what's weird? She said, well, I have to show you. So I showed up to the house and she opened up her bedroom door and I stepped into this bedroom. There were black curtains. There were black satin sheets. There were black bed covers. There were black pillow cut cases. There was a black rose. There was a dead plant over here. And it was just like, I was like, whoa. She said, Mom, I love this mom. I really don't know what's going on. And I said, I do. Your daughter's into something bad. This is not normal. This is weird right here. She said, well, I found this board underneath her bed. And so she pulled out this board and sat it on top of the bed. And mom and I are standing there. And she said, and I'd only seen one other one before that time. And she said, I don't even know what this board is. It looks like a Scrabble type board. And you know, maybe you play Scrabble on it. It had a magnifying glass on it and little pentagons. And she thought they were the Star of David and all around there. And I'm looking at this thing. And I said, well, mom, they come in different shapes and sizes. They're different kinds. But mom, that is what you know as a Ouija board. And she said, really? What does it do? And I said, well, I don't know how to operate it because I'm not in tune with its author and its creator, but I will tell you this, it works. Trust me on that one. About that time that teenage girl come walking through, she said, Brother Bob, what are you doing here? Why are you invading my space? And I said, well, your mom called me over because she thinks there's something wrong with you. And obviously there's something wrong with you. And I said, and we found your board. And she picked it up and she said, do you want to see how it works? And I was like, not really. She said, well, let me show you how it works. All she said was, what is this guy's name? Now, this is the God's honest truth. Okay, now I'm not preaching. I'm really telling you the truth right now. That magnifying glass moved to the B. It moved to the O and moved back to the B. Mom's like going crazy. And I'm sitting there going, that's a cute trick. How did you do that? And she said, oh, I didn't do it. You want me to ask it another question? And I was like, nope. Sure don't. Please listen to me. There's a reason why he said witchcraft.
Amen.
Because the power behind disobedience is not the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you're devil possessed because once you're saved, you cannot be devil possessed. But you can unwittingly and unknowingly be set up and do devilish-like acts. And guess what that is? Disobedience. But yet we excuse it because it's like, well, they'll be okay with what I just did. Let me tell you something. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than try to atone. To obey is better than to try to make up in forgiveness because you lose when you disobey. You lose. And then if you go on, look at it, he lost his job. Look at verse 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord hath rejected thee from being what? King. He lost his job. He pushed the envelope once too often. Let me tell you, those of you who have a job, and right now you had Tuesday off, stop thinking you're the exception to all the rules down at the job. You obey every rule, or you're going to lose your job.
Amen.
You students going to school, you obey every rule, or you won't graduate. You people in the home, children, obey every rule, or there'll come a day when mom's dad say, you have to get out. Obey every rule, or you'll lose your job.
Amen.
Then look at the last thing. This is crazy. Look at verse number 34. Then Saul went to Ramah, and Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Jump to chapter 16, verse 1. Look at it. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul? Do you know what Samuel's boss said? Stop mourning for Saul. Samuel said, that was a good guy. Man, that was a good guy. Man, he had potential. He had the stature. He could get things done. He knew how to rally the people. Yeah. But he just couldn't obey. Oh, if he just would have been obedient. He just would have been obedient. In fact, if you and I both know the glaring difference. I'm going to give you three things here. The glaring difference between Saul and David.
Yeah.
Who would you say committed the bigger of the two sins in our world? 1 to 10, 10 to... David did. Absolutely David did. But when David was approached about his disobedience, guess what he said? Oh, my goodness. I'll fix that right now. Saul's disobedience provoked pride in Saul and excuses in Saul, not a humble spirit.
Right.
Let me give you three things and I'm done. Are you ready? First, your position does not give you the right to disobey.
Amen.
Your position does not give you the right to disobey.
Amen.
I'm the pastor of the Longview Baptist Temple. I do not have the right to disobey. You want to know why? Because my only power in my position is obedience.
Amen.
A manager forgets this. A principal of a school forgets this. An assistant pastor forgets this. You may be given a kingdom to rule down there at the job, but you know what your only power is? Is to take that manual and to make sure that everybody on your shift operates by that manual.
Amen.
And to make sure everybody goes, that's your power. That's the only power you have.
Right.
Well, I have the power to do whatever I want. Are you serious? You only have the power. You only have the power to do that which you are told to do.
Amen.
You know, I'm pastor. You would think the pastor could do anything he wanted to do. Brother Jenkins, you could think, because my name's on the sign, and my name's on the track, and I'm the guy who gets called on the... I'm the guy who gets sued, that I could do anything I want to do. Uh-uh. My only power that has been given me is the power to obey everything.
Amen.
I set up policies for the staff. They have to turn in all kinds of reports. But guess who's right there with them turning them in? Me. They have to turn in financial requisitions. They can't spend a dime until the budget says you can spend it.
Amen.
Guess who also has to abide by that?
Yeah.
Me.
Amen.
I only have the power to obey. My position does not give me the right to disobey.
Amen.
Bill Clinton should have been impeached the day,
Amen.
the moment. Congress and the Senate should have stepped up and said, yes, you are our president. Yes, you are the power, but you do not have the right to violate the Constitution of the United States of America. And you do not have the right to lie to us and get away with it. You should be held accountable. Let me tell you something. We would produce a better generation of kids if we would help them understand just because you're a senior in high school doesn't give you the right to disobey. And just because you're a teacher doesn't give you the right to disobey. And just because you're the manager does not give you the right to disobey. Nobody has the right to disobey regardless of what position you're in. The policeman doesn't have the right to disobey. The chief of police doesn't have the right to disobey. The fire chief doesn't have the right to disobey. Nobody has the right to disobey. You know why our society's all messed up? Because we keep giving people breaks. The other day, I was Thanksgiving 2 years ago. I was cutting down through a street and RG was with me, and Jordan was with me. Well, I didn't have my seatbelt on. And RG was like, you better put your seatbelt on, gonna get a ticket. Then he said this, I hope you get a ticket. You're not obeying. A little pride in me, special needs kid. You just sit there and mind your own business. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? A motorcycle cop pulled me over. Oh, RG's having the time of his life. And when he gets inside, he started rocking. I'm calling mama. You got a ticket. He comes up, and that motorcycle policeman, he's writing out this ticket, and he said, would you sign here? 2 weeks later, we had a funeral at the church. 2 weeks later. Well, we always get a police escort there at the church, and so I always pull up in front of the hearse, and so somebody bought me a personalized license plate, and it says gray II, gray II, and so I pulled up in front of the hearse. Well, the motorcycle cop's sitting there. He has his legs slung over the seat of his bike, and he's looking at me, And so I get out and I wave at them. And, you know, Thanksgiving, I wasn't in a suit and tie. I was in blue jeans and normal people's clothes. but this time it was a suit and tie. So I come walking out and I went and greet the motorcycle policeman. He raised the glass and said, "Pastor?" And I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Oh, do not tell the chief I gave you a ticket." And I was like, "Why?" He said, "Because we have strict instructions that pastors are off limits in this city." And I was like, "Are you serious? I want my money back." But that's what's wrong with our society.
Amen.
Nobody has a fear of the powers because we think we're the exception to the rule. And we think our position. Dads, listen to me. You don't have the right to keep your home, your family home from church. Listen to me, Dad. You don't have the right to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
"Well, I'm father, I'm dad, I pay the bills, I can do whatever I want." No, you don't, sir. No, you don't. God gave you the gender you have, to give you the position you have, to give you the authority that you have, and the only power you have is to do what that book says right there. When mom is at home, when dad's not here, I'm the authority, I have the position in this home, I can do whatever I want to do, I don't care what dad says. Oh, don't do that. You don't have the right to disobey because of your position. Nobody has that right. And if everybody would get it kicked out of their system, that disobedience is not given to you to where you can use it indiscriminately. You are not given the right to disobey. The only power you have is the power to obey. Your position does not give you the right to disobey. Number two. Forgive me for being very detailed. Are you ready? Number two, your relationship does not give you the right to disobey. Do you know King Saul and Samuel were very close? In fact, we see the fact that they're very close because Samuel mourns. Samuel was so reluctant to reject him from being king. Samuel paced the floor. No doubt, probably Samuel in his heart was saying, "Man, God, are you sure you made the right decision? It was just sheep that we could have offered." The relationship does not give you the right to disobey. No matter how close I am to anybody in my life, it does not give me the right to take advantage of that relationship to obey. I firsthand know what this is like. I worked for my dad for 22 years. Two illustrations of this point, and then I'll move on to the last one. Are you ready? My very first staff meeting, when we were sitting there, I was 19 and a half years old, and we were sitting there, and my father, you have to know my father. My father's the kind of guy that Stephanie knows, that when he conducts a meeting and he sits there and everybody sits around, he doesn't mind asking you, but he doesn't want, don't take advantage of this relationship. And so I'm his son, 19 and a half years old, my very first staff meeting, sitting there. And so he threw something on the table, and I'm sure he's wanting to include me. He said, now, what do you think? And pointed at me. And I kicked back in the chair in all my hours of wisdom as a youth pastor, and I said, "Well, Dad." He said, hold it. Let's take a break here real quick, if you don't mind. Everybody just kind of go take a break. And I thought, "Oh, I'm going to get him to take it." He said, not you. You sit right there. "Oh, why don't y'all go take a break?" And he smiled, and he shut that glass door, and he said, "Are you an idiot?" He said, "I'm not your father. I'm your boss. And don't ever call me Dad from 8 to 5. "Yes, sir." "All right, sit down." When he smiles, he's mad. "Sit down." Open that door. "All right, y'all, come back in. Come back. Everybody come back in. Sit down." All right, Bob and Angela. "Sit down. There you go. Sit down." He shut that glass door, and then he said, All right. Now, he started all over again. And they said, "Now, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, preacher, I think that," and I gave him my thoughts. He said, "Thank you, Brother Bob." You know what? My relationship with him as my father did not give me the right to disobey, which leads me to this next thing. I needed change real bad. Brother Jenkins, I needed change. I had a $20 bill. I've been working for the church now 15 years probably, and thinking I've gained some credibility. I needed change. I didn't know where to get change yet. I just needed change. And so I'm sitting there going, "I just need change. That's all I need is change." "Well, you know, my dad's the pastor." I can still remember the process of thought. "My dad's the pastor. I'm an honest guy. I would never steal from the church." So I took my keys that were entrusted to me, and I went to the bookstore. And I went to the cash register in the bookstore, and I hit that return button, and it opened up. They hadn't emptied the cash from Sunday. So I took my 20, slid it in there, and I took everything out, shut the cash register door, and left a note. I went on about my day. Oh, when my father found out he was going to call the cops for breaking and entering into the bookstore, and he like told me, you don't have the right because we're related to do whatever you want to do. Son, I wouldn't put up that with a teenager. I wouldn't put up with that from another staff employee. Just because your last name's Gray does not give you the right. And I'm sitting there like, would you please stop? I have no face left. And he's just like, he's bearing down on me. But you know what he was driving? Ooh, me, don't pound that one. You know what he was, y'all have medical here? And do you know what he was driving, the point he was driving home? Our relationship does not give you the right to disobey. It doesn't give you the right to disobey. That's why very few father-son corporations ever work. Because the son always thinks he's the exception to every rule. Come on, buddy-buddy. Don't you hate the good old boy system? Our country would be better off if there was no good old boy system. And that's why term limits are a must in politics. Because the more they're in there, the more it becomes you do for me, I do for you. Been doing this for 20, 30 years. Best thing our country could ever do is kick them all out, shake it up, and put everybody else back in that's brand new. Being new on the job makes you see a lot of things the old people didn't see. Number three, and I'm done. Your good intentions do not give you the right to disobey. Your good intentions. Well, the means justifies the ends. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Well, I had a good heart. Well, you had a good heart when you disobeyed. Now, I know it's kind of heavy this morning, but can I just get you to do this? Are you ready? I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're here. Just obey. I want you to take your words, and I want you to step back and ask yourself this question. Do I truly think I'm the exception to this rule? I preached this sermon. And are we taping right now? Shut it off. I preached a sermon Sunday night at our church. Is it off?